ordinarily be. A couple weeks ago, I saw a show on Netflix called Is Genesis History? And the thing is, with some of these Bible documentaries, sometimes they're hit or miss. Sometimes they're made by atheists, and other times they're made by believers. And so you watch them, and you have to judge what it's really going to be like. You know, whether it's going to be, you know, which side, one way or the other. We've also been talking about, I guess, over the last few weeks, different archaeological evidences of the Bible, scientific proof. So to put that together, and then the show I saw on Netflix, this is Noah's Ark, just a simple title. Particular instance can be found in Genesis chapter 6. So I'll be starting at verse 16. That the Lord said that, understand why I am telling you. I will bring a great flood of water on the earth. I will destroy all living things that live under heaven. Everything on earth will die. And that's, if you're wondering what the ERV is, that's from the ESORD. There's something called Easy Read Version. I decided to give that a try. We've been seeing a lot of, you know, New King James, New American Standard, and this is the easy to read version. I found it is easy to read, understand. So continuing on, Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. The number of people on earth continued to increase, and when the people had daughters, the sons of God saw how beautiful they were. So they chose the women they wanted, and they married them. And the women had their children, and then the Lord said, people are only human. I will not let my spirit be troubled by them forever. I will let them live only 120 years. During this time, and also later, the Nephilim people lived in the land. They have been famous as powerful soldiers since ancient times. The Lord saw that the people on earth were very evil. He saw that they had thought only about evil things all the time. The Lord was sorry that he had made the people on the earth, and it made him very sad in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy the people I have created on the earth. I will destroy every person, every animal, and everything that crawls on the earth. And I will destroy the birds in the air, because I am sorry that I have made him. But Noah pleased the Lord. This is the history of Noah's family. He was a good man all his life. And he always followed God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So this picture, I'll come back to it later on. God looked on the earth. He saw that the people had ruined it. Violence was everywhere. And he had ruined their life on earth. So God said to Noah, everyone has filled the earth with anger and violence. So I will destroy all living things. I will remove them from the earth. Use cypress wood and build a boat for yourself. Make rooms in the boat and cover it with tar inside and out. This is the size I want you to make the boat. 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Understand what I am telling you. I will bring a great flood of water on the earth. I will destroy all living things that live under heaven. Everything on earth will die. So pictured is a representation of the biblical flood. So you see the red, what is now known as the Fertile Crescent. When the flood happened, it flooded that entire zone of the Middle East, wiped out everything that lived there. And there's evidence throughout the region that this occurred. So continuing on in Genesis 6:18, I will make a special agreement with you. You, your wife, your sons, and their wives will all go into the boat. And also you will take two of every living thing on the earth into the boat. Take a male and female of every kind of animal so they might survive with you. So here's all the animals. This is a nice fun picture here. And what's kind of neat about genetics is you don't necessarily need to take every single variety of animal. You just need to take the main species, something that can make the other animals. So, for instance, if he took like a pair of bears, well, from them could have brown bears and black bears and polar bears. You just needed one set. And so, same with the other animals, just that they could repopulate the earth and that there would be variety afterwards. So Genesis 7 and 4 says, 7 days from now, I will send much rain on the earth. It will rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And I will wipe everything off the face of the earth. I will destroy everything I made. Noah did everything the Lord told him to do. So here's a quick ship's log. So you see that he was on the ark for about a year. The rain stopped, you know, it rained 40 days, 40 nights, and the rain stopped. But then the water eventually had to drain. It's been raining. And in addition to that, scientific evidence has pointed to there's sometimes pockets of water contained within the earth. And they think perhaps maybe there's earthquakes and things that open that up. Also, the earthquakes cause tsunamis. And it just crashed over the land. And another hypothesis is that Noah lived at the end of the last great ice age. And so combined the warming, the sea levels rising naturally from the snow melting, the earthquakes, and then raining for 40 days and 40 nights, just about the entire earth was covered over with water. So in day 150, the ark rests on Ararat. 224, mountaintops are seen. Raven was sent out on day 264. Later, he sent out a dove, and it returned finding nothing. Week after that, the dove returned with an olive leaf. So some of the world has now begun to heal after this flood. The trees are starting to come back and sprout. And then after that, the dove doesn't return. So the dove must have found a home. So then the ark cover was removed, and Noah disembarks on day 371. So this is from Wikipedia that Noah's ark is the vessel in the Genesis flood narrative from Genesis chapters 6 through chapter 9, which God saves Noah and his family and a remnant of all the world's animals from the flood. And according to Genesis, God gave Noah instructions to build the ark. 7 days before the deluge, God told Noah to enter the ark with his household and the animals. So the story goes on to describe the ark being afloat through the flood and subsequent recedings of water before it came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. So there's one called Mount Ararat, and then there's Mountains of Ararat. It's actually a mountain range. So for years, people have been searching for it. Continuing on, the story is repeated with variations. It's found in the Quran, where the ark appears. In Arabic, it's called Noah's boat. And the Genesis flood narrative is similar to numerous other flood myths in a variety of cultures. The earliest known is a flood myth by the Sumerians. And it was known as the Epic of Sudsura. And there's also one called the Epic of Gilgamesh. Now, some of these historians claim that since they have found those little cuneiform tablets and the clay jars that they wrote on, they claim that those are older. And so they claim that the Jews copied the people of Babylon at the time, the Epic of Gilgamesh. It's actually the other way around. And what I believe personally is that when the languages has changed, the story kind of changed and his name changed according to their language. And so they called him Gilgamesh. But I think it's talking about the same person. So searches for Noah's Ark have been made from at least the time of Eusebius, who lived in 275 A.D. to the present day. And despite many expeditions, no scientific evidence for the ark has been found. So I was on another program searching for Noah's Ark. And there's, I forget his name. He's an astronaut. And he spent a good deal of time and money going to Turkey. He made numerous trips looking for the Ark. And they have tour guides and everything. At one time, you could go over there, and they would have a tour guide. He'd take you through the mountains, and he'd point up there and say, you know, this is it. You know, you couldn't go up there because they considered it holy. And if you look here, see this shape? So it looks kind of like the shape of a boat. And they're like, well, that's it. That must have been the landing site. And it does look like a shape of a boat. It could have been caused by erosion. There's no telling what caused that. But it's probably a natural formation. We've seen other natural formations that look like things. So here's the speculation that archaeologists have found no evidence of Noah's Ark. And the story sounds too fantastic. You know, one man who gathered every animal in the world on a boat. Many ancient cultures also have their own great flood myth. And Flavius Josephus, his history and tradition of account regarding Noah and his descendants, and according to Josephus' findings, the ark was disassembled shortly after the flood and used for building materials, which would make sense. So if you don't know who Josephus is, he was a historian who lived back in Roman times, about 100 AD or so, a little bit later. Now, I didn't always know that. So here's a funny story. So long time ago when I was in school and played football, and I guess something funny about guys as they get older and they reminisce about sports is the older I get, the better I was. So we're on the bus to go to a game, and there's this group of guys, and they have this inside joke. And they're just like, yeah, Josephus rocks. And I'm like, well, who is this guy that they're talking about? And, you know, I didn't really pay attention to it. So I graduated, and years later, I'm in Bible class. And the teacher is talking about the history of the Bible. And he mentions Josephus. I was like, yeah, Josephus, I've heard that name before. And so I remembered back, you know, those guys talking Josephus. I was, well, come to think of it, they all went to church together. And I thought, you know, is that who they're talking about? But given the context that when they said Josephus rocks, so all that time I thought Josephus was a country music singer. So, fortunately nowadays, you know, we have our smartphones and stuff, and if you ever want to look up somebody, you know, a historical figure, you can go into Google, Wikipedia, things like that, and you can have the information instantly. But then again, you wouldn't have a funny story to tell. So these are the generations of Noah, and this is extrapolated from the Book of Chronicles, and there's other Chronicles, and you could also perhaps Numbers would show some of the migrations and the who begat who and so forth. So let's see, the color coding looks like it's off. Anyways, Ham is attributed to be father of Africa, and Shem is attributed to Asia, and also, well, I guess this is purple for Shem. Okay, father of Asia, and Ham is of Africa, and then Japheth, they attribute to the father of the people of Europe. And so you see from the migration that they all migrated in all different ways, including Australia and North America. And, of course, the archaeologists will say, well, it took, you know, thousands of years for the Americas to be settled. They crossed over this ice bridge, which they might have, and it took thousands of years, and I don't think it took that long. And it's just based on the history of this country, it could have happened within several hundred years to settle the entire continent. Because when the colonists of this country came over in the 1700s, from the signing of the Declaration of Independence to towards the end of the 1800s, all of North America had been settled by Americans, by what we call now Americans. And that was just 100 years. And they didn't settle it with advanced technology. They were in wagons and, you know, people walked. So I think it's very possible that they could have settled both North and South America within hundreds of years following the flood. So these are the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the flood story tells how Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with their wives, were saved from the flood to repopulate the earth. So below is an 1823 map by Robert Wilkinson. Prior to the mid-19th century, Shem was associated with Asia, and Ham with Africa, and Japheth with Europe. So Genesis 9 and chapter 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Have many children and fill the earth with your people." And so Shem's name means name or fame. And through Eber, he became the ancestor of Abraham and thus the Israelites. And in the view of some 17th century European scholars, he's also the father of the people of China, and India is descended from him also. And Ham is the forefather of Cush, Egypt, and Put, and Canaan. And those lands include portions of Africa, Arabia, Syria, Palestine, and Mesopotamia. And Japheth is apparently the youngest son, and although his line is given first, and his name is associated with the mythological Greek titan Iapetos, and his sons include Javan, the Greek-speaking cities of Ionia. That's from Wikipedia. So above pictured is a picture of Babel. And I won't get into that story too much, but I will tell you a little bit about it. Is that after the flood, they were worried about being scattered upon the earth. And so they began building, rebuilding humanity, and they build this tower. And they began thinking, you know, great about themselves. And so God strikes it down, and not only strikes it down, but confuses their language. And so with the differences in language and everything, people couldn't understand each other, they started going elsewhere. So they migrated and spread across the earth. So if the ark can't be found, they've been searching for it, and some of the ancient historians have claimed that it was dismantled. So if the ark can't be found, there is evidence that suggests that the flood actually occurred, says Robert Ballard, and he's an archaeologist who found the Titanic. So many who have claimed to have discovered evidence of Noah's Ark, the ship that Noah filled with two of every creature to repopulate the planet following God's devastating flood. In the 90s, geologists William Ryan and Walter Pittman gathered compelling evidence that showed a flood, if not an ark, occurred in the Middle East about 7,500 years ago. So again, this is the flood zone. So the theory, the Guardian reports, is that a rising Mediterranean Sea pushed a channel through what is now the Bosphorus, submerging the original shoreline of the Black Sea and the deluge following about 200 times the volume of Niagara Falls and extending out for 100,000 square miles. So this is the localized flood that wiped out all the people living in that area, which was all of humanity at the time. And again, people think that we came from Africa because monkeys are from Africa, but the Bible says that people originated in the Middle East. Ballard is using advanced technology to travel back nearly 12,000 years to a time when much of the earth was covered in ice. It was the last ice age. So if and when this ice started to melt, massive floods have surged through parts of the globe, wreaking havoc on anything and anyone in this way. So the story of Noah and his ark is a building block of Genesis in the Old Testament, and is similar to, in some respects, to the Epic of Gilgamesh according to National Geographic, and ancient Greek, Roman, and Native Americans all have their own variations of this flood. So here's something else interesting, is the Grand Canyon. It shows evidence of this flood, and there's also sites, the Painted Desert, and all throughout the Southwest United States, has these lines here. The top of the canyon, you see the lines, they come in at a certain angle and they're very far apart. Okay, that's natural erosion. The bottom of the canyon has very thin lines and they're at less than a 15 degree angle. Okay, that's caused by water erosion. So, also the scientists agree, Grand Canyon, water erosion, that's not in question. But what they disagree on is how this happened. Now, some, amateur archaeologists without any evidence, I guess, went to the visitor center and he peered over the little lookout point and he saw, well, there's part of the Colorado River that's down there, and I guess thought, well, that was it. He thought the Colorado River over, I guess, millions of years carved out the Grand Canyon, and that is the prevailing theory. Now, we know from just recently that landscapes can change very quickly over a short period of time. For instance, when Mount St. Helens blew, it changed the landscape. It created hills and valleys. Rain came. There's little streams that go through there now. And if you were to look at it and not know the history of the area, you might say, well, that little stream carved that valley over thousands, million years, whatever, but it's actually been few years in terms of geology. Same with, there was an earthquake in India, off the coast of India in the Indian Ocean, and it was such a devastating earthquake, caused a tsunami, wiped out a lot of people, and a new island emerged. And if you didn't know the history, and that was just a few years ago, the island emerged within a couple of days because of this earthquake as a result. And you might look at that and say, if you didn't know the history, well, the ocean gradually eroded away. No, the ocean didn't erode it away. The earthquake created that island and created it in a few days. So these lines have been seen before, and they've been seen within canyons at the bottom of the ocean. Ocean currents cause these kinds of lines, cause them to be that thin, that straight, less than a 15 degree angle. So it, in the show I mentioned earlier, is Genesis History, they have actual real scientists, doctor in geology, and they have marine biologists and others that discuss how this occurred, that ocean currents, when the flood happened, pushed through and eroded away the bottom of what we now know as Grand Canyon. So, away from the science part of it, getting back to the Bible, Noah's flood was to cleanse the world of evil, and baptism is to cleanse us from sin. Christ himself, in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ himself suffered when he died for you, and with that one death, he paid for your sins. He was not guilty, but he died for the people who are guilty. He did this to bring you to God. In his physical form, he was killed, but when he was made alive by the Spirit. By the Spirit, he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Those were the spirits who refused to obey God long ago in the time of Noah. God was waiting patiently for people while Noah was building the big boat. And only a few, eight in all, were saved in the boat through the flood water. And that water is like baptism, which now saves you. Baptism is not the washing of dirt from the body. It is asking God for a clean conscience. It saves you because Jesus Christ was raised from death. The flood that occurred during Noah's time was effectively baptizing the world. It was washing away all of the sinful people. But now we have the baptism of Jesus, which washes away sin from an individual. So in summary, the world had become so sinful that God destroyed it by water, save the few who obeyed him. Water through baptism now saves us, because Jesus paid for our sins and was raised. According to Josephus and other ancient historians, the complete ark will not be found. However, more scientific evidence is starting to support that Noah's flood, suggesting extreme weather patterns, caused massive worldwide flooding. So, in summary, in the Old Testament, God chose people. But now with Jesus and the baptism of Christ, we now have the opportunity to choose God. So I'll conclude with the Great Commission. So go in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, Jesus gives his final commandment. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So if you're here tonight and you need prayers of the congregation or would like Bible study or have any other concerns, please come forward at this time and let your need be known as together we stand and sing.